Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. So glad you are here. Amen. Look at this. Episode 78. I can't hardly believe it. Coming up near 100 episodes of this second season. Unbelievable. So God gets all the glory for helping us to do this show. I thank you for listening. We're just going to get right to it. We're in Genesis 4. And we're looking at this interaction with Cain and Abel. And we're kind of mirroring that to Adam and Eve. Because we see with Adam and Eve a very similar pattern of them falling into sin. Cain falling into the same sin by killing Abel. And, you know, not for nothing, but like Abel was righteous. His offering was accepted before God. And let's just, and I know you don't want to assume, but could you assume that Abel just kept being righteous before God? I mean, kept serving God. It's incredible. Like, yeah, just to think about that, that might have been the line of Christ and all these other things instead of it coming from Seth. And God knew before it all would occur. But the sinful act of Cain took Abel out, and he was no longer there to provide God an offering. And Cain, instead of being repentant before God multiple times, is prideful. And that wickedness is shown through again and again. And we're going to look at these verses in a little more detail. And we're going to tie in some New Testament passages into this scripture, because Abel is actually mentioned by Jesus Christ himself. I don't know if you know that. In the Gospels, he's mentioned by him, as well as the writer of Hebrews mentions Abel. So we're going to look at what this is mentioned, how this is mentioned in the New Testament, as well as just generally some more lessons from these verses when we come right back from this break. So stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Okay, great. Thank you for sticking with us here. Amen. Not that you would tune out after a couple of minutes, but maybe someone's like, oh, they're on the break, I'm done. But no, you didn't. You stuck in there. So praise the Lord for you. Okay, so here we are in Genesis 4, 8 through 10. We're going to go through this, and I think this should wrap up Genesis 4, 8 through 10, where we deal with this dialogue between God and Cain. And we deal with, of course, the murder of Abel. And then once in the next episode, Lord willing, we're going to look at God's punishment, which I've already mentioned in a previous episode a little bit. But we will spend some time looking at the consequences of Cain's sin very soon. So just to read these verses, because I've got them here, and because maybe you don't, I don't know, but Genesis 4, 8 through 10. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Okay, so I think one lesson we can take from this right off the bat is that nothing in secret is hidden from God. And all things come to light. Ask any patrolman, any state trooper, any police officer, when the majority of crimes happen, and they will tell you in the evening time, at night. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but it's a little bit darker at night than it is in the day, at least most days. And people are trying to do things in secret. You know, why do you lock your door when you go out? Because you don't want someone to come in while you're gone, because they'd prefer to come in when you're not there. In secret. Why does my bank card, I've got a bunch of cards, but why does my bank card keep getting stolen? I mean, like every day, I must be the most vulnerable. I mean, I work online. I have like some computer knowledge, but my bank card keeps getting stolen. Like all the time, these crooks love, and you know, I'm a preacher. There's not much in there, but that's a little preacher joke for you, but either way, they keep stealing it. Okay, well, why does it get stolen? Like, why don't they come and ask me for it or take it from me directly. Why do they have to steal it in some covert way with the internet? They're doing it in secret. You know, why is someone deleting their text messages? Because they don't want their wife or their husband to see who they're talking to. Or deleting their browsing history because they don't want people to see what they're looking at or their apps. They're doing it in secret. And one lesson we see here plainly is everything done in the dark will come to light. And what God has done throughout Genesis, really the whole book, God has coaxed Adam and Eve and Cain into this, like, hey, just repent. Hey, if you do well, everything will be okay. Hey, just listen to me. Like, God in his love and his mercy, which is so abundant and so wonderful, over and over again, he's saying, hey, just go ahead and, like, confess your sins and I'll forgive you those sins. And the idea of repentance is that you understand where I'm coming from and you never do them again. And when I say I'm coming from, I mean God's coming from, right? Repentance isn't saying, God, I'm sorry, and then doing it again, right? My child is not repentant if they blast some music, right? Speaking of an app, right? They download one of those apps where you like dance and play a game. I have no idea what's going on. But they love those apps and I keep telling them to delete it because I'm like, that music's not wholesome, okay? So that repentant would be like, I'm never touching that app again because that music's not wholesome, right? Not being repentant would be like deleting the app, waiting until I leave the room and then downloading it again, right? But is that not what man does? They say, oh God, I'm sorry. And then they go do it again, right? So true repentance is identifying with God what the sin is and not doing it anymore, right? Because here we have in verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Even the blood of the slain can cry to God himself, to Jesus Christ himself from the ground. Nothing is hidden from God. Amen. You want to get into some very deep stuff? God's got donkeys talking in the Bible. God's got, you know, angels appearing out of nowhere. God's got lions that won't eat a person that prays. Daniel, that person, you know, God has a fiery furnace that can't burn people up. God is supernatural. God is all powerful. Nothing is beyond God's capabilities. And yet Cain's like, I don't know where Abel's at. Well, clearly you do. You killed him and God knows that, but he's going to allow you to answer that question because he knows it'll be in his word as a warning to others. God's word is not the entirety of society or historical record of all living ever. Okay. Though God has that, but God's word is like, it's a wake up call. It's the living word. God didn't burn down every wicked, sinful, homosexual town. He burned down Sodom and Gomorrah as an example, right? And turned Lot's wife to a pillar of salt as an example, right? He's going to deal out his real judgment, his real wrath in the times to come. And if you read in Revelation, it's not pretty. Amen. It's going to be absolutely terrifying. So this isn't anything, you know, I mean, this is nothing. Like what is happening now is nothing. The punishment that we were going to hear about in the next episode that Cain receives that he says he cannot even bear. That's nothing. That's the very littlest bit. I could go on, but for time's sake, we're moving right along. Here's Jesus mentioning Abel. Matthew 23, 34 through 36, just a couple of verses here in Matthew 23. Jesus is going back and forth with the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says this, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And of course, Jesus Christ himself was scourged, and Jesus Christ himself was crucified. Jesus Christ himself was killed. And we don't just peg it on the Jews. The Romans had their part, but the Jews were the ones that wanted him to be killed. Remember, Pontius Pilate washed his hands. He said, this man's innocent. What we see here is that Abel is mentioned, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias. And if you look up who Zacharias was, this Zacharias, there's some debate. And so for time's sake, I won't get into the debate of who he was, but we understand from the beginning, Abel being what? The first one that was killed, right? For being righteous. I think we can say that. The first human ever killed for being righteous is Abel. And that's what Jesus is saying. onto one of their contemporaries, one that was more closer to when they were living. This other individual, Zacharias, was killed between the temple and the altar. All these things, poetically, are going to come to this generation. We see God being poetic in Genesis 4. What does it say? And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. So the very next verse we'll study next episode has that poetic nature of God cursing the very place that the blood spilt that Cain had shed of his brother. Abel is called righteous by Jesus himself, testifying. Why was Abel righteous? Testifying to the wickedness of man. You know, what happens? Abel offers an accepted offering to God, okay? And what does Cain do? He kills the messenger. See, that's who the prophets are. They were messengers. They were mouthpieces for God. They weren't saying what they wanted to say. Again, I can't stop talking about Jeremiah. But in the book of Jeremiah, he doesn't want to say this stuff. They're throwing him in jail. They want to kill him. They're going to throw him in a pit. He's like, God, I want to pull my hair out. You know, he can't get married. Like, there are things, so many things he doesn't want to do, okay? But he's saying them and doing them because he is God's spokesperson. And their reaction will not go unpunished. Kill the messenger. When we face opposition as Christians, it's not to us, it's to him, right? What is the verse? They hate you because first they hated me, right? John 15:18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's John 15:18. And we see here Jesus testifying that Abel testified to the wickedness of man by being righteous and giving a proper offering to God. What was Abel's crime? Why was he killed by Cain? He brought an acceptable offering. I mean, that's all that we can tell. And Cain kills him. And these are the first two boys, first two humans that have been created by man. And this sin curse still goes on today. How about the writer of Hebrews mentions him as well? Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And so we see here again the same idea of testifying, and we see that, you know, Hebrews 11, we know that as the Hebrews Hall of Champions, Hall of Fame, whatever you want to call it. It's people that had great faith, and it's listed out in Hebrews of all these Bible characters that had great faith. And we see here that Abel had faith to bring God a proper offering. So when I'm teaching about how Cain had rank unbelief, and if anyone wondered, well, how do I get that idea? Well, part of it is from the writer of Hebrews 11, telling us that it was by faith Abel brought a proper offering, and he testifies even though he's dead, because what his actions spoke to true belief in God, to give that firstling of the flock and the fat thereof, to give the very best he had. And then he ends up giving his life for God, because if he had just not brought an offering, Cain wouldn't have been jealous and wouldn't have killed him. So by virtue of him giving this proper offering that's acceptable to God, he is killed by his own brother. Very, very sad, but very true. And what Jesus is saying is, whether it's Abel or Zacharias or anyone else, the blood is returning to this generation of sinful people that have gone and killed the messenger. They've gone and tried to take out those that are speaking the word of God foolishly, not understanding God's power and sovereignty, which is not just something we cook up in our minds, but we read about throughout the Bible. We read about God's power in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And certainly we read about the end times in the book of Revelation. We read about the fearful things to come. We read about the wine press, the blood going up of these dead bodies to the horse's bridle. If you ever stood before a horse and you look at the bridle, that's pretty high, friend. And that's where that blood's coming up to, of all the enemies of God, of all those that have rejected God. Every single person will face and have to give an account. For those that have been saved, we'll be at the reward seat, and we could plead Jesus and we'll be saved from any punishment, as far as I understand it. That's why Jesus says we're not under condemnation. But for those that have rejected God in unbelief, oh, how they will face great wrath in the time to come. Let us take heed. Let us understand his word. Let us apply it to our hearts and our minds. Tune in next time as we get to the next part of this chapter. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow same time, same place.